Fearless Conversations, the Serpents and Doves podcast with Pablo Frassini.
What is going on? It is 2024. Woo! Wow. I made it. The family and I made it to midnight, and then we were pooped. So we texted our Happy New Year's. And so to everybody else who I didn't get to, Happy New Year, everybody. 2024. So what I would say is buckle up, buttercup. No, not buckle up, because fear-mongering and things are going to get crazy. And I don't know, maybe they will. Who knows? I'm saying buckle up because we're in for a ride, but I believe it's going to be a good one. It's going to be nothing more and nothing less than what God has already have in store for each and every one of us. None of 2024 is going to catch the Lord by surprise. None of it. None of 2023 did. None of 2022 did. And none of all history has caught the Lord by surprise, because He is God Almighty. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And He knows the end from the beginning. And we are His and He is ours. And so that should bring peace and comfort. So sit down, buckle up, and just enjoy the ride. Not saying not to be prepared. And when I mean prepared, I mean in the word prepared. That's what I'm talking about. So, family, there are a couple things that I really want to talk about today. But as always, before I even get started, I want to jump right on over to the Serpents and Doves website. I'm down over here on your bottom left-hand side. Folks, listen. There are some changes coming in 2024 when I'm hoping sooner than later. I am almost done with uploading all the new stuff to the shop. It's taking forever. I have to just make one last check with my vendor, and then that is going to go live. So that's going to be way sooner than later. I'm hoping within the next couple weeks. Don't forget, I'm a one-man band. So I wear a lot of different hats. And so, and that's okay. Totally fine. But Serpents and Doves website, please, by all means, put your email there. I am not going to be one of those people that bombard you with newsletters. For those that have subscribed to the newsletter, you know what I'm talking about. I don't think you've gotten anything in a long time because I'm working on it, but you will. And I'm going to really, really try my hardest this year to send out a quarterly newsletter. So if you're okay with just receiving, and it's going to be more video than it is going to be writing, and if you're okay with that, once every 3 months, by all means, put your email there and I will go ahead and add you. It'll automatically actually add you to the newsletter list. Enough of that. Something else is I'm hoping this year also to write a lot more blogs. I'd like to do more writing as well. And those will be posted here. I'm going to revamp the site to make it more easy to access the videos directly from the site. And so there are some changes coming. Keep me in your prayers. I've got a lot working on. I've got a lot to work on. And again, if you like the content, if you feel led by the Lord, if you want to support the work that I'm doing, the work of Serpents and Doves, either with a one-time or a monthly donation, you could do so just by going to the donate button right there. It's on the top right-hand side. If you click on that, it'll do a one-time. There's I think, three or four different ways, whatever works easiest. Or you could click on the monthly, and that will bring you to the different amounts and the links to get there. All right, enough of that. Let's get started, shall we? So listen, folks, again, welcome to 2024. We are 1 year closer than we were last year to the Lord coming back for us. When that's going to happen, I have no idea. I have no clue. And one thing that I want to tell you, I quit biting my fingernails waiting for that date. That doesn't mean, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Hold on. That doesn't mean that I am not expecting it. That does not mean that I am totally looking forward to being out of here. Because trust me, I want it more than anyone else. I'm just kidding. But we all want it. And I do want it. And so that's not what I'm saying. And you'll hear what I'm going to get to in regards to that point a little later on. That's a tongue twister. A little later on. Yeah, try to say that five times. A little later on in the podcast. So what I wanted to talk about, this is the first podcast of 2024, yet another solo flight. Right now, I only have my first officer stripes, which is 3. I'm not quite in the pilot seat, and I'm not saying pilot in life. I'm just talking solo flights where it's just all going to be solo flights. But I'm kind of working my way there where every now and then I will have a guest on, but I have so much that I want to share with you guys that a large portion of these things, if you know what, is going to be solo flights. And so get used to seeing this mug before the camera. Doesn't mean I'm not going to bring others on. I will, but it's definitely not going to be the way I used to. There are changes. I'll share my heart with you guys in today's podcast. What to expect in 2024, but there's something that I really felt the Lord was speaking to me directly as we go into 2024. And I want to share that with you guys. I want to share what it is the Lord has been dealing with me and sharing with me. And I want to encourage you with that as well and pray that maybe that would be something we could do together as we get into 2024, a new year, right? Something new to be thinking about. And so as we dive into this subject, which is, you'll find out, I want you guys, if at all possible, just have an open heart, okay? Because at the end of the day, I might say something that you might not necessarily agree with, but I've got to tell you guys right now, my heart is not to offend anyone. I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not here to, to bring discord. What I want to share with you guys today is strictly my heart with you guys. It is strictly what I've been feeling the Lord leading me for quite some time now, and some of the changes that have led up to the changes that we're going to see in 2024, at least in relation to the Serpents and Doves ministry, right? And so without further ado, I want to get started. One thing that I want to tell you guys is that first and foremost, time is not our friend. Time is not on our side. So what I intend to do this year is not waste time. Does that mean I'm not going to rabbit trail? Nope, that's just who I am. We're going to rabbit trail. Does that mean I'm not going to maybe be long-winded on certain things? No, not necessarily. But what I want to do is I want to bring subjects that I sense, and I've been sensing for quite some time now, are not being addressed in a lot of different avenues, a lot of different outlets. And so that's just one of the changes that I want to share with you guys. Time's not on our side, so let's not waste time. I don't want to waste time. So with that said, I want to just dive into what we're going to be talking about today. Now, one thing that I've got to set the stage for is I do not believe in New Year's resolutions whatsoever. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions whatsoever. Now, some of you guys, I think this is what I'm hearing from some of you guys when I say that. Right? Crickets? Anybody out there? New Year's resolutions? Okay, so I don't. I really believe that New Year's resolutions are a very well-intentioned waste of time. We got good intentions, but at the end of the day, they all crash and burn like the Zeppelin did, right? You guys have that image of the Zeppelin kind of coming down. And it's crazy because every time I think of that image, I think of the band Led Zeppelin. And is it Black Dog? I think it's Black Dog. Correct me, folks, if I'm wrong. That one song, Black Dog. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, I was never a big Led Zeppelin fan. Enough of that. So look, again, they might work for a little bit, but if we're really going to be honest about it, it literally is just a matter of time before each and every one of us breaks that proverbial resolution. What I'm talking about, and you guys could tell my voice isn't quite 100% yet. It's getting there. Please continue to pray for complete total restoration. I'm like somewhere between 85%. This has been one of the weirdest bugs ever. I don't know whoever's had it. Tell me if you've had some weirdy bug. I'd love to hear about it because I want to know. I'm not the only one doing this. But anyway, seem to have hit a whole lot of people all at once. Anyways, so what I was getting to is what I want to encourage each and every one of us is what I've done is I've committed as of late, okay? I've not resolved. I have committed as of late to seek balance. Seek balance as I study the word and I share what's on my heart from what I study, from things I see, from what I gather as I share to you. That is my commitment before God Almighty and before you guys. That is one of the things that I have committed. And look, I know that some of you might be saying right now, dude, a resolution and a commitment, it's pretty much the same thing. I'm here to tell you they are not the same thing at all, okay? Because a resolution, really, essentially, it's just a mere statement of something we intend to do. We verbalize our resolution, right? It is something that we are supposed to be resolved at doing. But there's really no commitment to a resolution. Did you hear that? There's really no commitment to a resolution. That's why most resolutions end up where? In the toilet bowl and flushed down the proverbial drain. Right? That's just the way it is. Let's be honest about it. But the difference is that a commitment, it involves action. It's literally like a vow. It's what we are sincerely focused on a purpose. It's like we become laser focused on something. It carries with it a sense of allegiance, loyalty. There's an emotional and intellectual bond that's connected to a commitment. It's very different. I hope that you see the difference between a resolution and a commitment. So again, they're not the same thing, right? To do and to say are two totally separate things. Unfortunately, we see that with most politicians. It's one thing to say, and it's a whole nother thing to do it. I resolve to do this, but I am committed to do this. Again, there is this emotional, intellectual bond. There is this sense of allegiance connected to a commitment. And that is what I want to purposely do. I am committed to doing these things. So again, my prayer today is that through this heart-to-heart that you and I are going to have, we can resolve to commit the following. Don't just say it, but commit it. Commit it. And here is the one thing, and to some this might be elementary, to others it might be mind-blowing, but it is to abide continually in Christ. As we start 2024, my heart, and I want to encourage you guys to make the same commitment because it is going to set the stage for the entire year and beyond. It is to continually abide in Christ. As we continually abide in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, think about it. It is truly, truly the only source of true growth and power for each and every one of us, the believer. Let me say that again. When we abide in the Lord, it is really the only source of true growth and power in the life of the believer. Imagine that we would walk so closely to the Lord that our hearts would just burn within us with an intense desire and passion for His word. I want to be a man marked by an intense desire to devour His word and to pursue holiness. I pray that that's the same thing for each and every one of us. Imagine, right, to abide so deeply in Him. We see this picture in John chapter 15. It is the picture of the vine and the vine branches. So for us to abide so deeply with our Lord and Savior, to commune with Him, to be so connected, the vine, that the fruit, that fruit which grows is like the fruit that we see when the 10 spies were sent out to spy the land of Canaan, right? They came back. We had 8 with bad, 2 good. It was Caleb and Joshua. They were the only two that said, let's go in there. Let's take it. But you guys remember it was a land flowing with milk and honey. The branches of grapes, they had to carry between two of them because they were so massive. And that is the kind of fruit that I would love to see for each and every one of us as we commit to abiding in the vine, as we commit to abiding in Christ in 2024 and beyond. I don't want it to stop in 2024. I think when we see explosive growth in our personal walks and relationships with Jesus Christ, it is going to create this constant thirst and desire to want to know more and to want to know Him better and to want to draw deeper and deeper in our intimate walk with the Lord. Again, it's this fellowship that will remain unbroken. And when that fellowship remains unbroken, we are going to, not we might, we are going to see the necessary spiritual nutrition to flourish and grow. Very much like in John 15, right? We see the vine that is the branch attached to the vine. That is where we receive our nutrients and our life comes from. Again, if you haven't read John chapter 15, I would encourage you guys to go read that. When we do that, because that's a choice to commit, not resolve, commit to doing it every single day, we will receive all of the necessary nutrients, not only just to bear fruit, but to bear much fruit. And you and I both know that that's something desperately lacking in today's churches. And I will go as far as saying it is something that's desperately lacking in today's pulpits. But see, here's the thing is, by the way, let me clarify something really quick. Total side note, let me put the pause button. I need to clarify this. I think 2 podcasts ago, there was a misunderstanding where I said everybody's gonna, well, I haven't reheard it. Somebody wrote and said that I said on the podcast that everybody's gonna stand at the great white throne judgment. That's not true. That's not, maybe I misspoke, but I don't think that's what I was saying because we know very well for those, where I was coming from was that those that are not in Christ will stand judgment before God Almighty at the second, at the great white throne judgment. I think I was talking about if you die once, if you're born twice, you'll die once, right? If you're born twice, you will die once. If you're born once, you will die twice. And that's where I was coming from. Those that are not in Christ, those that have not surrendered to Jesus Christ, have not asked Him to be their Lord and Savior, they will stand. Every single one of them will stand before God in the great white throne judgment. That is one you do not want to be a part of. Believers go to the Bema seat judgment. That is where we are given rewards for our faithfulness. But praise God, we get crowns, we throw them at the feet of Jesus. That's a talk for another time. I had to clarify that. So please forgive me for just kind of interjecting here. Let me continue as we talk about abiding in Christ. I wanted to make sure that I got that crystal clear, got it out, and there's no misunderstandings. So if I did misspeak or I just jarbled my words where I didn't make any sense, because that does happen, please forgive me, okay? It's just me. It's just the way I am. And I do appreciate when you guys write in. I read the comments. You know what? It's just been nuts and things have been crazy. I would like to get on and I have answered a handful of them. I don't get to all of them. I can't get to all of them, but I do read them. And when I can, I will sit down and take the time and answer as many as I possibly can. So please just bear with me. Be patient with me. Okay. I love you guys. And I love hearing from you guys. I really, really do. I love seeing the interaction in the comments on Rumble. I do see them. I love my Rumble family. Love my YouTube family. I love my family that's on all the outlets, Google, Spotify, and Apple, and all the other ones. So family, I do read them. Just please be patient with me. I can't get to all of them, but I do read them. Just know that, okay? Okay, so back to what we were talking about. We must, capital M-U-S-T, we must remain in constant, daily, unhindered fellowship with our Lord. Am I perfect and good at that? Oh, no. I've said this plenty of times. This is why I am a work in progress. I am a total work of progress, right? I am a man of God in progress. not complete, not at all, not by a long shot. I still have a long ways to go. And that's okay. I'm okay with it. I learn each and every day. There are times I fall flat on my face more than once every day. Praise God for His grace. I'm thankful for that. And you know what? Yes, I understand. Grace is not cheap. So I'm not saying that. I'm not advocating for cheap grace. So please, it's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that I am not perfect at this. We all work towards this in the sense of constant, daily, unhindered fellowship with our Lord. We're not working towards our salvation. Not what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying that it does take discipline. It does take work. And when I mean by work, I guess I mean discipline, for us to be in constant, daily, unhindered fellowship. Because if we don't have that, just like many areas of life, there is work and discipline that is required if you want to see results. If you want to see results in the way you look, well, you've got to put in the work at the gym or going walking. You got to go walking and you got to get your heart rate up and you got to change the way that you eat, change the diet you have. That's what I'm saying right here. That's exactly what I'm saying. I've always found it amazing that we have these spiritual and physical parallels, right? We have to work at staying in shape. We're all in a specific shape, but the shape we all want to be in is in good shape. And so it takes work to get in good shape. It takes discipline to get in good shape. It takes discipline to say no when you know that what you're going to eat isn't good for you. Much in the same way, it takes work and discipline for our daily walk with the Lord to remain constantly unhindered. And so, for example, let me read to you what Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where is the seat of our power and strength for a believer? It is in Christ. It comes through His Spirit dwelling within us. We can do all things. But realize that if that be true, we know then the antithesis of that statement is true as well, right? That without Christ, without Him, we can do nothing. That's just a fact. So if we want complete and unhindered growth in our walk with Christ, if we want to see the fruits of the Spirit, wow, man, I'm on a roll. Great way to start 2024. If we want to see our the fruits of the Spirit, if we want to flourish in our lives, if we want to have those, the heart within us to burn with fervor, zeal, and love for our Lord, then we must abide and walk with Him daily, uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to go today. I'm hoping this will be short and sweet. I will guarantee you this. I promise you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is not going to be my most popular talk. But I promise you, it is the most necessary one. I don't care. I'm not looking for popularity. I want us to all be on the same page when it comes to our understanding on how to flourish in our walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. And there is only one way that can happen. There's no need to write these big old books. There's no need for, you know, these 2-3 hour long conversations, even though you can have them. But it's really, really simple, and the Lord laid it out for us in John 15. Listen, that's something that I have to tell you. Rabbit trail here, okay? Rabbit trail alert, sorry. But there's one thing that I am committed. Another thing I'm committed to doing is I study the Word of God, as I share with you guys, is I don't want to ever take someone's word for it. And what I mean by that is, we hear a whole lot of things. We hear a lot of talks, a lot of sermons. Some of them are great. Some of them are a bunch of baloney. Listen, and even commentaries and books. As I have books behind me, I've got plenty of commentaries. If there's one thing that I want to be at the top of my list is, and I've been asking the Lord that as I study His word, there's a lot of things that I don't understand. Even when it comes to end times Bible prophecy, there are things that to me still don't make sense. And so what I'm seeking the Lord is, I don't want somebody else to come and tell me what that is. I want the Word of God to interpret the Word of God. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. I want the Lord to reveal the answer for me in His Word. Sure that we have things that will aid us in what, as we study, right? Certain books, some commentaries. But I think we can err on the side of leaning more on those things than leaning on the Word of God and what God has to say through His Word. Oftentimes, I've fallen guilty of this. I quickly go to a commentary instead of taking one verse or two verses and seeking the Lord on those two verses and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me through His Word what He means in that specific part of Scripture, whether it's about end times Bible prophecy, whether it's about the fruits of the Spirit, whether it's about an Old Testament portion of Scripture, whatever it is, I'm committing to this, because I've found that through the years, even though I've read these things, the answers that I've most oftentimes gotten in books and commentaries are answers that are regurgitated from past commentaries and past books, and they're vague, and they don't really answer the question. It's almost, please forgive me as I say this, it's almost the kind of answer you would get from a politician, where they give a big answer, but they don't address the question. And so that's something that I am just committed to changing this year. I want the Word of God to be crystal clear. Sure, there are things that we are not going to understand this side of heaven. Case in point, the Trinity. I know it's not found in Scripture, the Word. Okay? I know that the word Trinity is not found in Scripture, and that's an impossible concept to understand. But the closest that I could get to understanding that concept is, for example, I am a husband, I am a father, and I am a son all at the same time, right? As a son, I have different characteristics. As a father, I have different characteristics. And so as a husband. That is the easiest way for me, maybe my pea brain, to comprehend the Trinity. Yet I am the same person. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not calling myself Trinitarian, okay? I'm just saying that the concept, sometimes I like tangibility. And oftentimes, as I've approached scripture, especially in end times Bible prophecy, there's no tangibility to some of these answers. There isn't. And that's something that I am resolved to commit to changing, right? So I want to just encourage you guys to do the same thing. Don't take my word for it. Go in scripture and seek, like the Bereans, smart dudes. They said, hey, Paul sounds like he's right on track, but we're going to check him. And so it's important that we do that. It's very, very, very important. And so listen, again, I just want to encourage each and every one of us to abide in the Lord. Many of you know who Ron is. I love Ron. He is my bro, my brother. I seriously, it's like we're like this. But Ron, he's done many blog posts, and he's now serving with his wife and family over in part of his family in Papua New Guinea, 1 year missionary term. Not his daughter, son-in-law, they're there to stay. He's there for a year so far. We don't know if the Lord is going to change that or not. We'll see. But Ron, we talk a whole lot. But to me, Ron is such an example of what I've just told you guys all about. I'm not saying Ron's perfect, but he is an example of what I have just told you about. He has so much dedication and discipline to getting in the Word of God and in prayer, right? That the fruit of his commitment has produced something that I desire. It's like I want to have that same level of commitment and discipline and drawing near and dear to the Lord as Ron does. And what did that do? That is, in Ron, it's produced contagious faith. I want that. I desire that. It's like that salt, right? It's amazing what happens. And my hope is that we would commit to abide in our Lord in such a way that it would affect those we come in contact with. I pray that our commitment would be a contagious commitment, that we would effectively affect our immediate sphere of influence for Christ, that what we have, others would have. Remember that where light is, darkness cannot prevail. And there's a whole lot of darkness, but the brighter the light, the lesser the darkness. And imagine if we could just shine those lights. So I want to encourage us that the deeper we abide, the deeper we get into fellowship with our Lord and Savior, the more contagious our faith is going to be. I want to read to you guys something from Dr. David Jeremiah. I thought it really puts things into perspective. And I'll continue. I'll really try to get through this quickly. But listen to this. He says, at first we just lie there helpless. At some point, we decide to turn over, and somehow we start to sense we ought to make forward progress. We feel a compelling impulse to crawl. Then we start pulling ourselves up by the furniture and standing upright. That first independent step is a milestone. And then there's no stopping us. Experts say that the average person walks, check this out, listen to this. Experts say that the average person walks about or approximately 6,886 steps each day, which amounts in an average lifetime to more than 90,000 miles, or almost four times around the globe. May every mile be with Jesus, he says. When you know him as your Savior and Lord, he also becomes your companion and friend. And he walks with you and he talks with you and he tells you that you're his own. And he walks with you and he talks with you and he tells you that you are his own. Right? Remember that song? Wonderful song. Through his Holy Spirit, he accompanies you through life, just as he walked with the two disciples to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. They later said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And so I want to, again, encourage each and every one of us to walk in deep fellowship, in constant communion with our Lord, right? Because as we do that, think about this, as we do that, as we grow deeper and deeper in our fellowship with him, the things that grieve the Lord, they're going to grieve us. The things that bring the Lord pleasure, going to do the same thing for us. What it's going to do is it's going to open up God's mighty and powerful hands in our lives. But oftentimes, and I'm going to try to be quick, oftentimes, you know, like Superman had his kryptonite, I believe that there is one thing that can serve as kryptonite in the life of the believer. This is just one. And I think it's one of the worst ones, one of the worst offenders. And that is busyness. We had the holidays just come and go. And I guarantee you, busy, 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 right? Marked by busyness. What it does is it can and it will rob us of spending quality time with our Lord. I am guilty. Please, I want you guys to know and understand that I don't ever want to sit here and talk at you. I'm talking with you. I'm with you in all of this. Just because I'm here sharing, I just want to be open with you guys. I've allowed that to become my kryptonite too, where it's robbed me of deep fellowship and intimacy and quality time with my Lord. Look, if that's you, don't feel bad. Again, I just said I've done. I got to remedy that. We've got to remedy that. And we can all get started. We could all get started. And I think I mentioned this last year. Let's all get started with reading the Bible in a year. Let's commit to that. Not just read through it, just to read through it. But as we read through it, right? Because some of us might go, well, where do I start? Start right there. Get a plan to read the Bible in a year where you're in the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Psalms and Proverbs in one day. Short little excerpts. I promise you, it's going to draw such thirst in you. You're going to want to just keep coming back for more and more, and it will create such an intimate fellowship with our Lord. But the key to all of this is commitment. It is commitment. Not a resolution, a deep-seated commitment to the Lord to do this. The more that the Word of God comes alive, the more we're going to truly yearn to read and draw from the Word. The closer and deeper our walk is going to be with Him, I promise you. And what does that lead us to is what I'm sure many of you heard. It's this term called koinonia fellowship. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says this. This is what it declares. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in what? Spirit and purpose. It's funny because to me, koinonia always sounded like some island on Hawaii, right? Or some like coffee roast from Hawaii. It does. I mean, you have Kona blend. This is koinonia, but it's not. It's a Greek term. I get it. But what it means is to be in agreement with one another and to be united in purpose and serving alongside with each other. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to say that by and large, the church in the West does not have that. I can't say that we are in agreement with one another. I can't say that in purpose we're united. And it's hard for me to see this whole serving alongside each other because there's broken fellowship. Unfortunately, there is. We got to be real about this, right? We're going to be honest. So how does this happen? How does the koinonia happen? Our koinonia, our fellowship with, and this is really, this is very telling because our fellowship with each other is based on our koinonia, our fellowship with Jesus Christ. Wow, that's a revelation, right? If our fellowship with Christ is broken, our fellowship with our brothers and sisters, our relationships will be broken, and they are. And so that's why I want to bring this challenge to each one of us to commit to becoming, to abiding in Jesus Christ, in the vine. There's many withered branches, many. And if you want to know what happens, go read chapter 15 of John. I encourage you to do that. Let me read another verse. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So do you guys see that? The koinonia fellowship with Jesus, everything hinges on us having that deep-seated fellowship with our Lord and Savior, and that will not happen unless we abide in Christ. I know if you probably rewind this podcast and try and see how many times I've said the word abide, it's a lot. I'm trying to drive the point home, the importance of abiding in Christ. And this brings me to the last thing that I wanted to share, to talk to you guys about and challenge each of us as we get into the Word of God, as we draw near and abide in Christ. And it has to do with our study of end times Bible prophecy as we enter into 2024. There's a lot of noise happening. There's a lot of chatter, whether it's from the right, whether it's from the left, even in the remnant Bible prophecy camps, there's a lot of noise and chatter going on. So listen, please, I'm going to ask you right now, okay? I'm going to share my heart with you. So before anyone starts to get uncomfortable, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to try to land the plane as smoothly as I possibly can. I know that no matter how hard I try to share what I'm going to share with you next, that there is, look, let me put it this way. No matter if you're on a plane and you're holding a cup of water, no matter how smooth that landing is, I guarantee you that some people are just going to spill a little bit of water. I think you get where I'm going with this. No matter how hard I try to bring what I'm going to say in for an ultra smooth landing, in aviation, that's called a smooth butter landing, right? There's an aircraft called the A330. It's an Airbus. And my boy is totally into aviation and we love aviation. He loves it. We love it. And actually, I've always liked airplanes too, but he knows a whole ton about this stuff. But there's a plane called the Airbus A330. It's called the butter machine. Because it has such, it's known for its very smooth landings. And I don't want to get technical here because I'm not a pilot. I'm not an aeronautical engineer. But from my understanding, it's the way that the landing gear is pitched so high that the plane, the landing gear makes contact and it smoothly allows for the landing gear to come down on the pavement of the runway. Don't know. I think that's what it is. Either way, it's called the butter machine because it lands smoother than most other aircraft. Not saying that there aren't other aircraft that have smooth landings or that the pilots' skills don't have anything to do with it, because they do, all right? But what what I want to do is I'm going to try to land this as smooth as I possibly can. So bear with me, okay? What I've been sensing a lot, and this is for quite some time, and I don't know, maybe this is one of the reasons why the Lord hit the reset button with the Serpents and Doves ministry, where I had to delete the channel and start from scratch. I think it is. I think at least it had a part to do with it. And this is how I will approach the study of end times Bible prophecy from here on out. Okay? I originally started talking. The ministry isn't end times specific. Ministry as apparel, and that was always the goal for Serpents and Doves. I wanted to do great looking apparel, create amazing talking pieces, and prayerfully have people that come in contact with the apparel to go to the website and at the website be presented with a lot of great biblical material, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not changed. That's not changed and it won't. But originally when I did start speaking on my original YouTube channel, this is before Rumble or any of that, all I had was YouTube. All I strictly talked about was the end times, Bible prophecy. And though there's nothing inherently bad with talking about and studying these things, the Lord has been really, I think, convicting me by telling me that I was teaching a lopsided diet of scripture. And I agree. Looking back, hindsight 2020, I totally agree. I think a lot of you have kind of sensed that I've slowly been moving away from a lopsided diet. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If you tune out now, you're not going to get the whole picture. Right? So again, I've been sensing this for quite some time now. And I really believe that it took the Lord's hand of intervention for me to take a step back, react, and take a look at the broader picture. So what I wanted to say that, listen, in my next podcast, you don't want to miss that one, because I'm going to be doing a deep dive as to these two eschatological ditches that we find ourselves in when studying end times Bible prophecy. But suffice it to say that I've been in both ditches, and it stinks to be in either one of these ditches. I found myself headed for one of those two ditches recently, in recent months, actually probably the last year, maybe even couple of years, I'm not sure, but I've got to say that I'm really, really thankful for the Lord's intervention. I want to make something crystal clear. I'm not saying that I'm done talking about Bible prophecy or end times Bible prophecy. That's not what I'm saying. But this ministry is not going to be relegated to only talking about end times Bible prophecy. Trust me, I've sought the Lord on this, and I've really been sensing his conviction on this matter. But praise God for his grace as well. He's been very gracious. Listen, I'm not sure. I hope you guys understand where I'm going with this, right? Look, water is a great thing. It is a necessary thing that we must have in order to live. You could go without food for quite some time, but you cannot go without water. Water is good, but intaking large amounts of water is not harmful to the body. Is not beneficial to the body. It's harmful to the body, right? Something taken to the extreme. Well, in excess. The right foods are good. You have good veggies, you've got good grains, but any food intaken, right? That's not a word. Any food taken in an unbalanced manner is harmful. Anything taken in large amounts of quantity is harmful. We must exercise moderation. We must exercise moderation in the physical world as well as in the spiritual world, in our spirit, in what we intake. We must exercise moderation. I like to use raw and unfiltered honey. There are tons of health benefits to using raw and unfiltered honey. I would encourage you guys to go check it out. Go do some studying and some reading on raw, unfiltered honey. And there's some amazing benefits, right? I'll drink apple cider vinegar that's organic and unfiltered. And I'll put a little bit of honey in that. In a big glass, I'll put like a teaspoon of raw and unfiltered honey. And I'll drink that. I'll put like 3 capfuls of it. I love that. I do that every day. It tastes delicious and a lot of good benefits. But imagine if I drank instead of 1 cup, I drank like 64 ounces full of that stuff. Trust me when I tell you, it would be harmful, right? Anything consumed in excess can be a detriment to our health. Listen to what, like I just told you, I like honey. But listen to what Proverbs 25:16 says. It says, if you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. So essentially what he's saying is, if you found honey, eat a little bit just for yourself. But if you eat enough for an entire country, it's going to make you sick. So where I'm going with this is that I found that in these prophetic times that we live in, is that end times Bible prophecy is being, air quotes for those that are listening via podcast, consumed, okay, air quotes, consumed in excess, and I believe it's becoming counterproductive to the body of Christ. I hope I didn't lose anybody when I said that, but please don't miss what I just said. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that end times Bible prophecy is being consumed in excess, and it's becoming counterproductive to the body of Christ. That's exactly what I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm not here to step on anyone's toes. And I hope that you guys understand what I'm trying to say. I guarantee you that there are some that are feeling uncomfortable now. And look, I'm not going to tell you not to feel that way or to feel a different way. That's up to you. I'm just sharing my heart. Okay, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm just trying to be honest with you. I don't want to offend anyone. I'm not here to hurt anyone, but I think we really should come to grips with that fact. I'm trying to bring light to an issue that unfortunately it's becoming counterproductive. It became counterproductive in my life. And as I've read emails that have come in, as I've read comments, not just on my channel, various other channels as well, it is also affecting many in the same way and in different ways too. I've read people that have become suicidal. I've read people that have become so depressed. You know, there's that saying, don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, or something like that. Or maybe it's backwards, but that's what essentially we've come down to. The Lord wants us to have a balanced diet of His word. Any one biblical doctrine taken to the extreme is not good, right? We know that Jesus healed people. We know that Jesus still heals people because He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But we also know that they've taken that, His being Jehovah Rapha, and many within the church have, it's become hyper-centralized, where that doctrine of healing, that is all these ministries do. I know you guys probably can think of ministries in your mind. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Why? Because we've taken something that is definitely biblical. It is part of God's character, but we've taken it and we've made it just that. We've made the gospel just about that. We've also taken what the gospel has to say about finances, and it has a whole lot to say about finances, and we've perverted that, and we have this whole name it and claim it. We have this perverse gospel being preached that God doesn't want you to be poor. So we've relegated poverty to spiritual deficiency. It's almost like if you're poor, then that means you're obviously living a lifestyle of sin. And I don't think it takes a rocket scientist for you and I. We know how many of these prosperity preachers, all right? It's not that I'm pointing the finger. Trust me, I know the plank I got in my eye. But you see where I'm coming from. It when we take a doctrine in Scripture, we take a characteristic of God in Scripture, and we take it to either one of these extremes, what we come up with is heresy. Now, I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that the study of end times is heretical. Not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is that what's been happening is we have become so laser focused on it. We have become so fixated on just that one thing that we've now become, I believe, counterproductive to the body of Christ. It's much like when you feed your body bad things, it oxidizes the cells in your body, and that opens the doors to different kinds of diseases. Much in the same way, just like I said in the very beginning, how beautiful it is that we could take the principles of the physical body and apply them to the spiritual body. We see those parallels drawn throughout Scripture. I mean, Paul even says that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But much in the same way is our bodies, our cells can become oxidized by things that we put in our bodies called free radicals. In the same way, if we have a lopsided diet of the Word of God or of any one specific concept or dogma or teaching point in Scripture, that becomes a detriment to us spiritually. It will oxidize us spiritually and emotionally. And I've seen plenty of it. It is a breakdown. So in essence, it is what I'm sure you've also heard it, but it's this end times burnout. And I believe that there is more end times burnout happening than there is more end times encouragement and building up happening. I've been there. It's not a good place. What you're probably saying, what? You have? Yeah, I've been there. I have been at end times burnout. I have. Okay? Confession. And God has worked in me and in Scripture as I've sought Him, as I've talked. Ron and I have had a conversation. But I love the way that the Lord renews us. It's only the way that He could do it. And He renews us, but in a way that only He can do. And trust me when I tell you, I am so looking forward to hearing that trumpet sound and being out of here. But as I've shared with you, not just now, but in the past, that our main responsibility is one thing, and that is to make disciples of all men. We are not keeping the main thing the main thing. Unfortunately, we went through a time where many pastors were not preaching Bible prophecy, and a lot of them are still not. But we kind of went to the opposite extreme now, where we have so much being thrown at us in every direction that it again becomes counterproductive. And that is not the way that the Lord intended Bible prophecy to be approached. As I said in the very beginning, all things are going to work out according to God's perfect prophetic plan. Don't trust what I say. Get into the Word of God and you'll see it for yourself. But as we begin to gain momentum in 2024, and trust me, we will, I would love for us to shake off any burdens that we might have picked up along the way. Again, the Lord never intended Bible prophecy to create fear, to create anxiety, to create panic or worry or even loathing, where you're just like, I'm done with that. I am sick and tired and fed up with all this. The Lord never intended for that. He never intended it for it to be a subject within Scripture that covers an entire third of the Bible. He never intended us to have to become disinterested in it. But we're seeing that. The Word of God is His love letter to us. The Word of God is meant to encourage us. It's meant to bless us. It's meant to sustain us in times of trouble and in times that where we have those valleys. And at the same time, it's intended to kick us in the butt and spur us on. And you know what? Hey, you know, pick yourself up and let's get going. It's a look into who God is. It's a look into His character. It's a look into His attributes, His love, and His perfection and His holiness. And so my prayer, I really do, my prayer is that we would study the whole counsel of the Word of God, that we would walk in such close koinonia fellowship with Him that our concerns, that our fears, that our anxieties would just melt away, and that we would have a deep-seated yearning for Him, for all things Christ. I pray that in 2024, as we start, that we would truly abide in Christ, that we would abide in the vine and be blessed beyond measure as we seek Him, that we would be blessed in ways that we would have never thought possible. So I pray that if that's something you want to join me in doing this year, to seek Him more, to come to a deeper understanding of who He is, to fear Him more, to revere Him, to understand His holiness, His godliness, His perfection, and that we would abide in the shadow, under the shadow of His wings, as we read in Psalm 91, which is, by the way, a beautiful psalm. So I hope that I didn't mean to step on any toes, but I hope that you understand where I'm coming from. It's really easy for us to lose focus. It's easy to take a look around. It kind of reminds me of, for many of you probably seen the movie Bambi, there's one scene in there that's just indelibly marked in my mind. And I see that happening a lot within the end times. Even I'm talking about the remnant churches, okay? But I see this happening a lot, because I've read it a lot. I've heard it a lot. I've seen it. People have written in. I've had discussions about this. But there's one scene in the movie Bambi where you have two deer in the meadow, and they're supposedly hiding, and there are hunters in the meadow. One of them gets totally desperate as the other one's trying to tell him, just relax, just calm down, just it'll go away, just stay here. And the other one, I can't take it any longer, runs out into the meadow. And in the movie, all you hear is a gunshot, but you understand what happens. That's what I hope and pray that doesn't happen, but unfortunately, I see that happening. And end times Bible prophecy is something that's beautiful. It's something that I'm going to continue talking about, right? But at the end of the day, I want us, and that's what I want to do. There's so much to talk about. There is so much richness, fullness in the Word of God that we could oftentimes miss, something that the Lord might want to minister to each and every one of us, but we'll miss it because our minds are too focused over here. So remember, the next podcast I'm going to talk about are those two ditches. And it's going to be called Making Sure You Keep Your Britches from the Ditches, all right? So listen, that's my heart. That's what I pray and hope for in 2024. I would ask that you would continue to pray for me as I seek Him and as I bring and share what God's laid on my heart. And listen, there is a whole lot happening in the world, and it's high time that we have laser focus on the One who has the whole world in the palm of His hands. He knows you, He loves you, and He wants nothing more than for us to come to Him in all things, lay it at the foot of the cross. Matthew 11:28, and I'll close with this, says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I truly pray that the Lord opens doors that no man can shut and closes doors that no man can open in this new year of 2024. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we come before you. We thank you for this sweet time we've had of fellowship. And Lord, my prayer is that we each would commit to abiding in you, that we would commit to drawing closer to you, to getting into your word. Father God, that all things would fade away, like that song by Matt Redman, when the music fades, Lord, and all is stripped away. Father God, I pray that our focus would be on you and your word. Yes, this world is falling apart, but Father God, none of it is catching you by surprise. You know each and every one of us, and I pray that we would have such deep and intimate koinonia fellowship with you that, Lord, all of our worries, fears, and anxieties would just melt away. We lay them at the foot of the cross. Father God, if there's someone listening that doesn't know you, I pray, Lord, that you would meet them where they're at and that, Lord, you would just start that work of salvation. I thank you for this time and pray that you would grow this ministry, Lord, by leaps and bounds, Lord, not for my sake, but for your sake, Father God, that, Lord, you would reach many for you, Father God, that many would come to you in these last days, Lord. And I thank you once again for the opportunity. I pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed hope, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Family, listen, I love you guys. I'm really looking forward to the next one. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I implore you to call on him today. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Call to him, ask him to forgive you your sins, and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. I love every single one of you guys, and I can't thank you enough. I look forward again to 2024. Hey, remember, keep looking up. Could happen any moment. Maybe this year. Who knows? Till the next time.